Very much, Sonia. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the special meeting of the Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, our Senate Bill 23 subcommittee meeting held today, Thursday, the 9th of September, 2021 at 9. My clock says 9:01. My name is Brian Prieto. I'm the Assistant Chief Probation Officer with the Orange County Probation Department, and I will be the acting chair today for today's meeting. Before we jump into agenda item number one with our introductions, I do want to advise everyone that we do have one actionable item that the subcommittee will have to review and approve, but that's later. And that has to do with some of the items that we will be discussing later this morning. So why don't we go ahead and jump into agenda item number one, welcome and introductions. As I had mentioned, my name is Brian Prieto. I'll be the chair for this meeting's for this morning's SBA 23 special meeting. With that, if I could, from the district attorney's office, could I have Kimberly Doyle introduce yourself, please?
Yes, good morning. I'm Kimberly Doyle. I'm the head of juvenile court on behalf of DA Todd Spitzer. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Kimberly. On behalf of the offices of the public defender, if Laura Jose or a representative is on the line, please introduce yourself. Okay, from the Orange County Juvenile Court, if the Honorable Judge Joanne Motuike is on the call this morning, if you would, Judge Motuike, introduce yourself or the designee.
Brian, I don't mean to interrupt. Judge Motuike informed me that she's got a conflict this morning. I just received a text from Laura Jose. She can't find the link for this meeting.
Okay.
I will send it to her right now, and if Sonia can do it as well, that would be great, and that way she'll log on.
I'll do it.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
I'll send it to her right now.
Thank you very much, Kimberly. Okay, from our Orange County Department of Education, if the representative, Lynn, if you'd introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Lynn Garrett, and I'm the Director of Student Services for the Alternative Education Program for the Orange County Department of Ed.
Thank you very much, Lynn, and thank you for being with us here this morning. From our Orange County Healthcare Agency, Dawn, if you are on the call, if you would introduce yourself.
I am. Good morning. I'm Dawn Smith. I'm the Division Manager for Children and Youth Behavioral Health with the county's healthcare agency.
Thank you, Dawn, and thank you for being with us this morning. From our Orange County Social Services Agency, if Mr. Santini or a delegate of the agency is on the horn, would you please introduce yourself? Okay, moving on to our community members. Heather, if you wouldn't mind, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Heather Benjamin with Wayne Acres. I'm the Director of Youth Development Programs.
Thank you very much, Heather. Thank you for being with us here this morning. From Project Kinship, our other community member, Raymond, if you would introduce yourself, please.
Yes. Good morning, Raymond Sanchez, current navigator coordinator, community member.
Thank you very much, Raymond. And last but certainly not least, Madeline, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself and the agency that you represent.
I'm Madeline Rodriguez, here filling in for Steve Kim. I'm Director of Programs here at Project Kinship, and I'm representing Project Kinship and the community today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madeline, for being with us this morning. And then I know we skipped over, I do see her now on the line from the Office of the Public Defender. Laura, if you would mind introducing yourself, please.
Hi. Sorry I'm late. I'm Laura Jose. I'm Assistant Senior Assistant Public Defender in charge of our juvenile operations. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Laura, for being here this morning and being with us all. I do want to, on behalf of Chief Sentman, thank you all for your flexibility and being with us here today for this special meeting. So let's dive right into the agenda for this morning. We dispensed with item number one on the agenda. Before we jump into item number two on the agenda, I'll turn it over to Sonia. Sonia, are there any members of the public that would like to make comment on item number two on the agenda, which reads discussion of services and programs provided by member entities?
Yes, if there are any members of the public that would like to speak on item number two, please press the star 9 key or the hand raise button on the screen. Okay, there's nobody.
Okay, thank you, Sonia. Okay, at this point, I'll turn it over to committee members to see if there's any interest or any appetite to review any existing services that we wanted to review for this morning's meeting. All right, hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number three. And again, before we get into our discussion, again, I'll turn it back over to Sonia. Sonia, are there any members of the public that would like to make any comments concerning agenda item number three, which is the discussion of subcommittee member group reports?
Okay, if there are any members of the public that would like to speak on item number three, please press the star 9 key or the hand raise button on your screen. No, there are none.
Thank you very much, Sonia. Okay, and again, at this point, I'll turn it over to subcommittee members to see if there are any specific group report outs that any of the members want to provide to the rest of the body. Okay, very nice. Hearing none, then we will jump right into agenda item number four. And again, I will turn it over to the clerk of the board. Sonia, if you wouldn't mind asking the public if anyone has any comments or would like to weigh in on agenda item number four this morning, which reads discussion and review of the Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council SB 823 Subcommittee Draft Plan.
Okay, if there are any members of the public that would like to speak on item number four, please press the star 9 key or the hand raise button on your screen. No, there are none.
Okay, very good. So before I kind of launch in on what is posted out there publicly, I wanted to give some feedback on how this document came to be. So over the past several weeks, you all know that we have been trying to put together an idea of what the future plan might be to address the housing, transition, reentry, and supervision of youth that would have been formerly the responsibility of the Department of Juvenile Justice for the state. And up until today, we've been reviewing our current services, and we've also made some suggestions about what might be suitable for the youth that we will be taking on in the near future. And in essence, because of the legislation, we were made responsible beginning this year, July 1st, 2021. So what you'll see in the draft, what's being characterized in item in attachment labeled item number four is the SB 823 subcommittee annual plan, and it is a draft. And for today's purposes, we are simply just going to review the language in the draft. And again, just so that you know where this information came from, I put this together so that we would have, in essence, a visual depiction and also something that we as a subcommittee could work off of, as well as alerting the public where at least Orange County's ideas were and why we are taking, or at least suggesting, some of the services steps that we are putting together or we've put together in this document. So we'll quickly run through each page, and I'll let you know what, if any, additional information that we will need. The intention, at least for today, like I said, is just simply to review. And then by the meeting on September 16th, we would like to have this document more fine-tuned. In fact, if we could have it finalized and prepared for review and approval, we can submit this draft plan for final approval during the October 28th meeting of the larger Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council. So in the introduction, it just simply provides an overview and talks about how our specific subcommittee here in Orange County was established. You will notice all of the members that are listed. Megan Medlin is identified as an original member, but if you move on to the next page, you'll see, and Heather, you'll see that you were added as a community member as well onto the 823 subcommittee. However, Megan was not removed. We can, or I can, depending on the direction of the group, certainly put an asterisk to indicate when Heather was removed or when Megan herself chose to remove or kind of voluntarily remove herself from the committee, if that is something that the group would want to see for next meeting. Heather, certainly I'll need to have some contact information that you're comfortable with putting out there publicly. You and I, we can reconnect offline after today's meeting to discuss that further. Moving on to the next page, and also I think, let's see, Raymond, I'll be reaching out to you as well for contact information. And I think that was the only thing. Laura, also, I think that phone number I had put out there, I don't know if that's a phone number you're comfortable with, or if there's another more general line that you'd like to put out there, but I can also reach out to you offline after today's meeting to make sure the appropriate contact information is there. Okay, so the target population summary includes a lot of the information that was provided to the group, I think it was two meetings ago, and it does specify that the group of individuals from which probation did put together its overview of our potential eligible clients included the 51 individuals that shared specific traits. You will notice in paragraph number 3, there is no mention of anything, I'm sorry, paragraphs 2 or 3, there is no mention concerning where our target population resides. Again, I'm not sure if that's something that, I know there was some interest, Nasley's not on the call today, but I think she did express some interest in, at least for the purposes of developing the plan, right? She wanted to highlight not only certain demographic data of our potential target population, but from where in the community they came. So that is something, again, I'm not sure. I kind of leave it open to the group to determine if that is something that you would like to have included. I did not include that information, at least in the narrative. So we can, again, we can talk about that later this morning.
Brian, do you mean identifying a specific, you know, like city area where most of the youth come from?
Right, and Lynn, that's a great, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I don't like that idea.
Okay, and that's okay. You will notice that in the kind of the demographic data that we did post last time, there is indications where the population, albeit it's broken down in percentages, what cities they did come. Now, we could be much more specific and indicate, but if we would rather be much more general, and that is why I left that information off, I'm certain we would be all comfortable with that as well. But again, I leave that kind of, it's up to the appetite of the group.
I guess my thoughts are, this is addressing the population of Orange County. And I like that general, broader category rather than specifically naming, oh, from Santa Ana, the percentage is this. From Anaheim, the percentage is this. I don't see where that would be helpful.
Okay, very good.
In a positive way.
Right. Any other feedback from the group before we move on?
Is this just on this particular target population? I have a couple of suggestions, if possible.
Yes, Kim.
Okay, just in general, I think to be transparent with our county, just so that people understand where we're getting this information for the target population, it might be helpful next to that to put the actual WIC code of the section that leads us to this information. So in other words, target population is WIC 1995C1. I think we should add that for each one of these so that if someone's looking at it, it will refer them back to why we're giving this information.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, just to have the why for them, it makes it cleaner for everyone looking at the document.
Okay, fantastic.
And then in addition to that, I know we discussed the target population, but we did not really pull out the common true findings of what the youth did in order to be in this target population. So, you know, is it robbery? Is it murder? Is it assault with a deadly weapon? We kind of isolated gang and we isolated other factors, but would it be important for people to know that the youth that we're currently identifying within this group, what actually those particular crimes were that they committed? So that's just a suggestion.
And thank you very much, Kim, for the feedback. So in putting the document together, I kind of went round and round with kind of same thought process. And kind of along the lines, and I could have been way off, along the same lines of kind of that more generalized description, as Lynn had pointed out, I simply just indicated that our eligible group included those that committed 707B related types of offenses. And so I left it. Now, to your point, what that does, however, is it makes the description, or it allows the reader to speculate as to how serious, right? So we can certainly revise the narrative so it is a little bit more specific as to the offenses, and we can certainly do that and then present this to the group when we meet again.
The only reason I would suggest that, Brian, is I know that we want to maybe not be as specific and get really into the weeds, but I think if somebody is reading this and they look at our target population, most people aren't going to understand what a 707 offense is. And if you outline the seriousness of the offenses, they'll understand the necessity for the secure track and where we're going with this. So I think that this is one area that I would probably pull into the weeds a little bit, but that's just a suggestion.
Okay,
well,
very good.
And I would add on that, if you say 707B related offenses, right there you could put a definition without even needing to get into the weeds of the youth necessarily and which percentage fall into which category, but just because as a person reading this, you don't know what that might be. But if you know, like, these are the types of broader categories that are included under this code, then you have a sense of who these youth are or what they've done.
Thank you, Dawn and Kimberly, for the feedback. This is important kind of conversation, so that we can make sure that our document, kind of specifies certain things. And so I will take a stab at putting a little bit more description in this particular section, and then have it ready for review when the subcommittee meets again during our next regularly scheduled meeting. Any other comments or feedback specific to the target population before we move on to the program and services section? Okay, so next section, programs and services. You'll notice again, very generalized information where we are going to do a little bit more, and I'm drawing this description from the back and forth and the kind of desire from the group. We will not only as soon as possible perform, in essence, risk assessments on our eligible or secure track youth, case plans, including short and long-term goals, will be established, as well as regularly set, we'll call them, for lack of a better term, reviews of case plan goals, not only with youth and case manager, but as the group had articulated, with all of the other key partner entities that are involved with the particular youth. So that could be legal counsel, that could be members of the community, that could be parents, guardians, whoever. So it is open, and there will be a lot more engagement and involvement in not only case planning review, but also assisting the youth with attaining those goals. Any comments or suggestions for this specific area?
I have one comment. Thank you, Brian. My question is this, is we're keeping this very general, this particular section, and my concern is, again, not getting into the weeds as to what we're doing into, you know, Orange County, like our specific case plans or the programming. Where do we fall within that? Do we want to keep it this general, or do we want to be a little bit more specific for the working group and put that in there? I'm not sure. I'd kind of like to throw it out to the committee on this, because it's so general that it's not really telling the case planner that we have all this great programming in place and we have all these wonderful things that we've been working on. So I'm not sure if we want to get into the weeds or if it's meant to be this general. So I'll just throw it out to the committee on that.
Well, I kind of have the same questions as Kim. I think we need, in my humble opinion, and I'm open to being redirected, but I think we need a little more specificity. And I know this was just a starting point, but for instance, when we talk about paragraph 2, when you're talking about the case plan, you know, I definitely think we should have language in there that talks about how these programs need to be evidence-based and they need to be culturally appropriate, because not only are we telling the, to my mind, not only are we telling the committee or the agency that's reviewing this plan what our plan is, but also holding ourselves accountable to that when we go back to dig into the weeds and create, you know, the action items to move the development of these programs forward, right? So I definitely think that section specifically, for lack of a better word, the fluff of, you know, we're gonna have programs and they're gonna be all encompassing, and you know, that we need to be more specific about what our goals are. and maybe even, and then to Kim's point, do we want to include things, you know, we talk about mental health treatment. Well, I know we have gaps with substance abuse treatment. I know we have gaps with this continuity of care concept that we talked about in the first section. You know, that there'll be a seamless transition following successful completion. Well, we need to be specific about how we're going to make that happen. So I would like to see a little more detail that not only tells the community what the plan is, but that holds us accountable to follow through with that plan.
Oh, that's great feedback. And if I may, I'll add kind of the, and again, it was purposeful to be much more general, to allow for the not only the subcommittee when making recommendations to the larger group, it was meant to be generalized so that we could make suggestions that are that kind of align with our priorities, right? What I didn't want to do was I did not want to lock us into, in writing, a particular strategy, albeit all of the things that we're discussing are important. But when we're trying to determine scopes, when we put out solicitations, we wanted to try and align whatever those solicitations were with our generalized expectations. So it reminds me of a conversation that Dawn and Daniel had last meeting, where there is this desire, Laura, to your point, there is this desire to meet the needs or fill the gap when it comes to either mental health support or substance abuse treatment. But if we lock ourselves in and say, this is going to be our focus, and then we put out a solicitation out there, in fact, we set aside monies, and we, as part of our focus, and come to find out there are not community members out there that have a program that maybe meets the needs that we've got. And because we've locked into a strategy, we won't have that flexibility to move around or look at another priority. So again, yes, you're right. No question, it's more general. There is a lot of fluff in there, but what I was hoping was where the rubber is going to meet the road is when we identify what our priorities are and when the group does encourage the release of certain solicitations for additional services, we're able to say, this is the level of service or support that the county and its partners can provide, and this is the help that we need from the community. I hope that makes sense.
I mean, I do understand what you're saying. I think I do. But I think at a minimum, whatever solicitation we put out, we're not going to engage with garbage programs, right? So if by saying we want evidence in, we want evidence-based practices and culturally appropriate practices, to me, that is a baseline. And even when you talk about substance abuse programs, we need some flexibility around what those might look like and how that delivery of that service might be. But the fact that we need to address that gap is, in my mind, and maybe I'm being pie in the sky or unrealistic, but that's for me, that's not negotiable. Like, if we can't find a solicitation, then we need to create one or try harder or spend the county money to create one. So, I mean, those to me are just three baseline things that are not negotiable for any solicitation that we would put out.
That's
my thoughts.
Sure, and I appreciate that. And again, I know we don't want to get into semantics, but I would hate to, for example, put out something if probation was to be the lead to be responsible for finding community-based programs that fit a particular need. And I use the term in the solicitation or even within the scope of work, evidence-based. And that just in and of itself is limiting, because we've got a number of community providers, and I don't have to tell everybody on the line because you all know that there are community providers, not because their programs aren't effective, but they haven't had the resources to research whether or not their program or their level of support meets that threshold of evidence-based. Now, it could be promising practices or something like that, and Dawn would be able to speak to this much more eloquently than me, but I certainly would not want to, again, limit the availability of things that actually work, that actually have been, albeit proven at a smaller scale, to be effective by really fine-tuning our parameters. And that's all. Dawn, I know you wanted to say.
I do. I raised my hand. I couldn't tell if people could see that I was raising my hand or not, so thank you. I was going to say the same thing, Brian, that I think what we do not want to say evidence-based. I think what we might want to say is evidence-informed, promising practices, or evidence-based and or evidence-informed and or promising practices, because a lot of EBPs are not actually done with ethnic communities. There are, you might have an EBP, but the population it was tested with doesn't match ours. That's going to create a problem then with the fidelity or the implementation or the expected results potentially. So I think we want to keep that language broad, but I think it's important that it be evidence-informed, that it be promising, that it's shown something. So I think that those would be important things, and that it be culturally appropriate. I think we can all agree that that's important. And so adding that language. The other thing that I was going to suggest is in that second paragraph where it says, additionally, SecureTrack youth will have access to mental health professionals. I would change that wording to behavioral health, and then you might want to put in parentheses mental health and substance use disorder and parentheses professionals, because really both are needed to look at those youth holistically. And mental health kind of implies that it's not addressing substance use issues, which isn't accurate. Our staff and most staff should be co-occurring capable, but I think that would be helpful.
And if I could say something, Brian, just briefly. I'm sorry, Dawn, are you done? Yes, you took off your mic.
Yeah, I'm done. I took off.
Yeah. You know, I think that through our discussions, I mean, we're involved in all these working groups, and our main goal for this youth is obviously to meet their needs, right? That's the whole goal of SecureTrack and DJJ. So I think to Laura's point and to Dawn's point in conjunction, if we just added a sentence, our goal is to meet the needs of our youth through promising practices, evidence, however the language is, promising practices and cultural practices, that way that lines in there so that if something comes up, because my concern is this, we're going to be involved in 707 hearings, we're going to be involved in a lot of specific needs of this youth, and I want to be able to, as a DA, and I know Laura as well as a public defender, be able to say, listen, we're meeting the needs of these youth because of these programmings within Orange County, and that general language would be very important for all of us to have within there. So if we could add that language and not be specific as to the programming, but if we come back as, as an organization and say, hey, listen, we have this gap and we're not meeting the needs of the youth per our directive, I think that's important to have in there. So.
That's great. Thank you, Kim. Kimberly, for the suggested language. I'll ensure that the next iteration will have all of the suggested language in there. And again, also, thank you to Laura and Dawn for the feedback.
Excuse me, Brian?
Okay.
Heather has a question.
Yes,
thanks. If we're identifying priorities and we're getting more out of vague and dialing it in a little bit, as a community member and also a community-based organization, I would want to know if we have a program or service in a certain area, why did we choose that area? What are the demographics? Did the target population support that? So if you're going to have an educational program and service, well, how many of the youth we're serving don't have their high school diploma or a GED? If we're saying we want to offer mental health services, then how much of the population has mental health issues? So that we know we're spending our funding wisely based on the priorities we've identified. It feels out of left field to have an educational goal without any backup as to does the population need that?
Oh, makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Heather. And again, just to remind everyone, so the target population that was put together of all youth, including those housed in DJJ, up to June of this year, we found that target population to be on the older side, and we found that most, if not all, had at the very least a GED or a high school education. And so, what we tried to do, or what I tried to do, was not only characterize the population today, but also anticipate what the potential needs might be there in the future. But to that specific point, Heather, I'll make sure to tie in language, especially when it comes to programs and services that have that linkage, right? Yeah, and so it at least makes sense. Okay, thank you everybody for the-
Brian, can I point-
Yes, Kimberly.
I'm sorry, I'm very interested in this document, so I just-
Sure.
I think this is so important, and I think that this is something we shouldn't rush through. And the other thing that I was identifying within this is we didn't really describe the actual services. So, you know, we have our probation officers that are going to be supervising this new secure track that essentially came from DJJ. So we're going to have a difference in services. And I noticed that that's not necessarily identified within this.
Correct.
I know in discussions, I mean, we've been discussing this across the state with other DA's offices and other 823 committees. And they're actually talking about the differences in programming that probation is giving their officers, like new training, a way to approach these individuals that is different and unique from what we're currently doing within juvenile hall. You guys are doing a great job. But the idea is you're going to have a new body, essentially, a new, you know, new group of youth that are coming in. And what is going to be that change in services through probation with the secure track? And not to get into specifics, but I think it's something that is also missing within this definition. As you know, I don't know what the new training is going to be, but in the sense of, you know, enlightenment of this new secure track training, we have engaged, you know, X, Y, and Z, but just very general. But I think the public should see that as well, or who we're directing this to. So I just wanted to point that out as well.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate the feedback. Thank you, Kimberly. Okay. Anything else? Any other feedback for this particular section? Okay, so then moving on to at least our intention of using the Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant Funds. As you see, where it does make mention, kind of it alludes to what you mentioned, Kimberly, where we do talk just very, again, in very high-level terms about, you know, the reality is that these are going to be costs. And so there is an intention to offset some of those costs for some of the support that the county will be providing our secure track units. So there are kind of key phrases that are familiar to many of us who have been around for a while. So care and maintenance of youth serving in custodial commitments. While again, very broad, very general, trying to highlight is, at least here in Orange County, that is not all we want to fund. We do want to look to, and again, try and allude back to Laura's characterization earlier, where, yeah, it sounds kind of fluffy, but what we certainly did not want to do is we did not want to, again, lock ourselves in to say that we were only going to use the funding for certain things, in custody services, supervision. Truly, we were looking to fund a lot of things that are kind of unique. Towards the last paragraph, when we're talking about training necessary for youth to become more self-sufficient, including the ability to have housing options. These are things that are, at least newer here in Orange County, where at least the group is making a commitment. The one thing for sure we want to support our youth is getting them out of the custodial system, getting them on their feet, and giving them options for not only short and temporary housing options, but the training necessary so that they can live independent lives in the future. That's the focus. But again, this is, again, not necessarily pie in the sky. At least that wasn't my thought. Because the reality is there are going to be costs associated with all of the levels of support that we're going to need to provide these secure tribe youth. But I think it's, to Kimberly, your point earlier, this is such an important initiative, program. I think this is the time when we can relook at our priorities and really make commitments about what we want to fund and what we want to through block grant funds, and determine what other funding streams can fund our quote unquote normal operations, right? So that's kind of out there for you all to kind of digest.
Brian, I raised my hand. My comment is not content, it's form. In the second sentence of the first paragraph.
Yes.
It says the county, further along in the sentence, the county will also invest in those in custody. I think in custody probably needs a hyphen because was a little confusing in reading it. I was reading it as those in custody, so, and then it wasn't reading correctly. And then post custody probably also needs the hyphen later. And then in the second paragraph, the second sentence, secure track youth will have access to behavioral health professionals versus mental health.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Any other feedback on this particular section? And again, everyone, this by no means is the final. This is kind of the working document. Fire away. We want to make this as clean as possible. And again, we've got some time to make sure, and to highlight Kimberly's point, we want to make sure that this document truly reflects what we want to accomplish here in Orange County.
I do like the last sentence in the third paragraph where it talks about the strengthened parent-child relationships through their proven methods. I like that because it does speak to there's a track record of success in that area, which even though it's not evidence-based or evidence-informed, it does speak to a demonstrated competence in that area, which I think is important.
Thank you, Dawn, for that feedback. Okay, everybody, let's then move on to the next section, which is the facility plan. And this was This, in essence, is the same verbiage that you all saw during the last meeting. So unless there's any significant changes to that, again, we can revisit it and approve once the entire document is approved, not only by this subcommittee, but the larger group. So there's, in other words, there will be plenty of opportunity to make adjustments as necessary. Okay, so...
Brian, I just wanted to point out, just throughout the entire document, it says mental health, and I know that Don brought that up, so if we could just make a note that all the way through to change that to behavioral health.
Yes.
Yep. That would give us continuity with that.
Absolutely.
Speaking that language consistently.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. Okay, beyond the facility plan, the next section is retaining the target population. This is where we talk about the desire for the county to look more towards that incentive-based supervision style of not only housing, but in-custody service delivery, but also encouraging through incentives youth's participation in not only all of the in-custody types of services and support that he or she will receive, but also incentivizing the youth all the way through, even post-release and into supervision. So,
Did we skip the facility plan page, or do I have my pages out of order?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. We did review the facility plan last go-around, but...
Okay, so we're just jumping over that page. I thought we were going page by page, so I was confused. Okay,
no, I'm sorry. Was there while we're going back a little bit, Dawn, was there a comment that you wanted to make on the facility plan itself?
No, I was just reviewing that page, and I noticed you were not on the same page I was, so I was...
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, any more specific to the, and again, very high level, it's a commitment to utilize monetary and non-monetary incentives for encouraging youth to progress through, in essence, our program here in Orange County.
Brian, I hate to go back to the facility page.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I just wanted to have a little bit of a comment on this, because to me, this is a very important portion of what we're doing, is where we're going to be housing the secured track.
Yes.
And what exactly we're doing this is just a small part of what we're doing as a facility plan throughout Orange County, because we're all working on those committees. But I saw in here, secured track youth will be housed in any unit at JH. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that, do we need to be more specific that we're identifying areas that secure track can be located? Because any unit makes it seem like we're going to have them throughout the juvenile hall population, and that's not necessarily what we're doing.
So that is a great point that you bring up, Kimberly. So here was the quandary that we have here in Orange County. Other counties, as and maybe a number of you know through your comments and connections with your colleagues, other counties have established or decided that they were going to take funds, including the infrastructure funds, to stand up separate secure track facilities. So it was easier for the purpose of tracking expenditures as well as staffing, training, the whole thing. So the hard part that we have in Orange County is that we have not historically relied on the state to either house, provide reentry services, or supervision to our youth. In fact, at the time that we all met, a couple of meetings ago, I think we had a total of 4 kids up at DJJ at the time. And so, and that included, I think it was 1 female. So the challenge for us here in Orange County moving forward is we've got to be able to anticipate the kind of the truer population that we're going to have and be able to have the flexibility to deal with the one-offs. So historically, we haven't had a lot of females that have gone to DJJ. We haven't had a lot of male youth under the age of 16 that have gone to DJJ. Primarily, they've been on the older side. So probation, especially when it comes to in-custody housing, has this weird scenario where if the court assigns a youth, male or female, to the Secure Track program, and that particular youth ends up presenting some either need or individual characteristic that does not land squarely with the rest of the population, we certainly did not want to house the person in the same unit. And so what was suggested was, okay, rather than identifying one facility for all Secure Track youth, what we would do instead is we would go with a mindset, wherever the kid is housed, it's in essence just where the person lays his or her head to go to bed. It's the services that are important. So it doesn't matter where in the hall or where at YLA or where in the new YGC the person lands. It's really the services that are surrounding the person that are important. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I might just be picky on the wording. It sounds like if I was reading this, like we're not going to have, they're just going to go into the general population in the service area. I think that we need to rework that in a sense that the Secure Track youth will be housed in appropriate facilities within juvenile hall to meet their needs. I just think that when you say any unit, it makes it look like we're not really going to have a Secure Track and we're just going to push them out into the general population and just give them the services. And I think I know that's not what was meant by this, but it has that tone. So I think that it needs to be changed.
Sure. And that's fair.
I would agree. And maybe you could even use the word where their unique needs could be best met or something to identify that we know they're a little bit different.
Okay.
Is it the intent though? And I guess this is my question because I've read this a few times. Are the majority of Secure Track youth going to be housed together? Or
I don't think
because
I would
I didn't have the sense that we were doing that because there's not a large number of them. So it does not make sense to have a Secure Track youth unit. They actually are going to be placed based on their needs, and whatever is the most significant of those needs is what's going to determine where you place them, and then they'll have the services wrapped around them no matter where they are.
That description or Dawn's characterization is about the closest that is reality.
Can I point out one thing, though? I mean, we have discussions, and I know Judge Motowicki brought this up before, so I'm not speaking on behalf of her, but on myself, is that really within the language itself, it's the 707 offenses, so there's going to be a larger population that falls within this block grant than just the four that we've identified from DJJ. There is going to be a significant larger number of population based on the 707 status, so... just keeping that in mind, I think it's going to be greater than the number we think it's going to be. So I just want to point that out.
That's correct. And so, and again, that's where we have our challenge, right? Where we don't want to lock them into one particular place, but we do want to have the flexibility, kind of to Don's point. We do want to place the youth in whichever facility that addresses their needs the best. Hopefully that makes sense. And again, we will undoubtedly, before this thing gets locked down, we will revisit multiple sections throughout just to ensure that we are all of one mind and one understanding.
The other thought that occurred to me, and I was thinking about it actually with regard to group home youth, but what we see in group homes and STRTPs is that when you put all of the most severe, most complex needs in one home, the milieu becomes very difficult to manage quickly. And so if you're able to sort of intermix the really complex needs with some lower level needs, but they all share a common thread, it can help. It kind of benefits everybody. And I can't speak to the juvenile hall or the 707 specifically because I haven't worked with that population, but it, to me, it feels like a parallel, kind of parallel situation.
Yeah, and Dawn, you are not too far off. That has been at least our experience, providing custody support and housing for youth. Now, obviously, we have had the opportunity and flexibility, if needed, to house youth in different units throughout the facility, especially if they're having difficulty with either stabilizing with others with whom they share the same living quarters, or other things are actually, they're experiencing other difficulties. We kind of, not a timeout by any means, but each, the youth and maybe the group have a time of separation and then reintegration when it's appropriate. Okay. Any other feedback, comments on the facility plan? All right, everybody. Moving on then, we did the section retaining the juvenile population. Here is the section that will kind of set up agenda item number 5. And this speaks to the idea of regional efforts as it relates to either providing housing, reentry, and or supervision. So as the section indicates, Orange County currently does not have any kind of regional cooperative as it relates to SBA 23 services at this point in time. So the suggestion, and this suggestion is, this is what the group is going to need to kind of consider later on, is the idea that a portion of Orange County's Senate Bill 823 block grant funds be used to offset the cost of membership in a statewide consortium. And so in the briefest of all terms, the consortium is going to be a body made up of identified and approved members of county administration offices, the bench, probation officers, where the consortium itself is not the service provider. The consortium simply is put together with funding from all of the counties to set standards of what service delivery in particular areas ought to look like, so that each county is not burdened with trying to staff, come up with programs, and actually deliver services all in 58 different kinds of ways. So that is really the purpose of the consortium. And what it does is it also sets a guideline and a footprint for counties to enter into future joint powers agreements or anything in the future. So that's just kind of a highlight that is a requirement of the plan itself. Any questions on that particular section from anybody?
The only question I had, it's statewide. Does that mean that there is an expectation that all counties would participate, or only those counties that wanted to be part of that?
That's a great, Dawn, that's a great point. So it is only those counties that want to participate. And so because the chief himself cannot uniformly make the decision, that's why agenda item 5 is for everyone's consideration.
Brian, do we know, I haven't discussed this with other counties, do we know how many counties have joined the consortium?
So from my understanding, a large portion of the counties, as you can imagine, it's those counties that have relied on DJJ have chosen to participate. The ones who haven't chosen to participate are those, you know, they're kind of in our situation, meaning they have a lower population, but they have a lower population because their overall population is smaller. It isn't for a lack of needing the services. It's just they don't have the resources to provide. So what they've done is that they've just said, we're not going to join the consortium, but, you know, Tuolumne and Butte, we're going to have our own agreement in and amongst ourselves. So it's something like that.
Brian, my other question is, would sure. Orange County's contribution be proportional to the numbers of youth that we expect might participate, or are all counties that participate going to participate equally?
So, great question. So the participation, we'll call it percentage, is a uniform percentage. So it's 1% of a county's particular allocation. So for example, if the group agrees, this year, the County of Orange received $2.2 million. So if this group agrees that Orange County should join the consortium, our membership fee for this year would be $22,000.
I might have missed it, Brian. When it comes to the $22,000, we're joining the consortium. Just walk me through this. So let's say that we have an individual that has a specific need and another county can facilitate that need. Then our youth can actually be transported to that county for those needs. Is that correct?
That's correct. And again, Kimberly, you'd be able to speak to the group about this. Now, obviously, it's not as simple as that, but that, in essence, is what would happen. Obviously, the receiving county and the sending county would have to have agreements. The court would have to.
Right.
So, but.
This is my concern. Yeah, this is my concern, Brian. So Orange County, I mean, we're putting together this great program, right? So we're going to have the secure track, and our ideas are, in my opinion, we want to be the best county possible. What happens when all these other counties do not have the appropriate programming and they say, hey, Orange County, we put our $1,000 in because our portion of the block grant, it's 1% of it's just $1,000, and we start giving all these bodies sent to Orange County and we can't facilitate that because of our amount of money that we have. So my concern is that we'll have this influx of individuals into Orange County, but the part that's put into this particular program is only $1,000 from that county, and that would put a burden on Orange County. So, because I don't expect, based on our programming, that we'll be sending youth to other counties based on this consortium.
Right, and I share the same speculation as you, Kimberly. I think, and I agree. The amount of collaboration, the services that we have here currently and that we will develop, it's just me, will be bar none, right? But again, just to emphasize, participation in this consortium does not obligate a consortium member agency to be a service provider. It's simply to fund an effort to come up with standards. That's it.
Brian, can you say that again in a different way? Because I'm not sure, I understood what you meant.
No. I've been trying to wrap my head around this as well. So, if Orange County decides that they want to participate in the consortium, we would be putting in money into a larger pool of money, hopefully, from other counties for the purposes of having the group that is endorsed by the county administrators, board of supervisors from different counties, the Bench and Probation Officers Association, to put together a set of standards for how certain services are to be delivered to youth. So there's some uniformity. So whether I was from Del Norte or Orange County, and I, as a secure track youth, required some level of service, the consortium would set those standards. And those would be the guidelines for how services ought to be delivered to meet my individual needs as a secure track team. I hope that made sense.
Brian, can I give a recommendation? This is my concern. We're actually the, I'm not quite sure how 823 works in with JJCC, but
right.
Essentially JJCC, that committee is going to make the determination as
absolutely.
To the block grant funding. If we're
right.
asking to give up 1% of our block grant funding for this consortium, shouldn't
right.
it be something JJCC votes on versus our subcommittee?
And that's it. And
that's
so,
my concern.
Right. And so what would happen? No, and this is a great point. The recommendation, not only just consortium participation, but the whole plan is going to be coming from us as a subcommittee and presented in kind of this larger effort to the larger group, right? So if there's we do have to have consensus at the lower at our group before we present something to the JJCC. So if there's any concern about the consortium at all, that's okay. This would be the time when we want to say, not right now. We would not recommend participating in the consortium, or we would recommend participating in the consortium for reasons A, B, C, and D.
What I would ask, Brian, is I need to look into this a little bit
sure.
more, like talk to other individuals across the county. And I'm not saying no. I think the idea is great. But my concern is I don't want to bind the hands of my elected on JJCC if we look into this and there's an idea that we don't. And I'm not saying that's the way it's going to be, but I need to look into it a little bit more.
Absolutely.
But I really think it's a vote for JJCC versus, you know, our recommendation on this versus this is the consortium, this is what it will give to us, and then leave it to them to make a determination as to whether or not we give up that 1%. And it's not, I don't know which way, it sounds like a great idea, but I haven't looked into it county, statewide.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if people have that opinion.
Nope, that's a great point. Before we move to the next section, which is the final section, the data section, specifically in terms of the consortium, I know all of you have in your packet, or it is posted online, labeled item number 5, is the consortium analysis done by the Chief Probation Officers of California Association. So that 2-pager does give a little bit more background. It's 1.5 pages. So, but yes, by all means, and that's why the chief did want to ensure that this group did have a chance to consider consortium participation. And I think it is wise, if there's any hesitation, any questions, yeah, we simply do a little bit more research, and we can always agendize this for consideration in a future, or make other recommendations that maybe the item itself needs to be considered by our parent group rather than the subcommittee.
So, Brian, what I was understanding you to say is that this group, whatever we're doing here, either with the plan or with this particular piece of the plan, is really just do we think this is a good idea or not? It's
correct.
Still the JJCC who makes the ultimate decision to allocate 1%. So
absolutely.
Our decision, so we might decide we think that's a good idea, and JJCC may say no, it is not.
Right.
Or
that's
or
right.
vice versa.
Yep.
Okay.
Brian, the only reason I brought this up is because agenda item number 5 is not, it doesn't state that specifically. It says discussion and approval of the participation in the statewide consortium and payment of the consortium of 1%.
That's
so
correct.
That was my concern with that agendized
right.
item. I thought we were making that decision.
So, and here's kind of the thought process behind that. Because we're going through the development of the plan, one of the things that we, that are required in the plan is for the purposes of building out a proposed budget, right? So if this group, in developing a recommended plan to the parent group, decides that the consortium should be a consideration, obviously probation and the CEO's office would work to find out, okay, when we take 1% away of our allocation every year, then how much disposable dollars would we have access to to actually solicit for services or offset the cost of any services provided by the county. But we would have to, you know, illustrate that. So before probation reached out to CEO to work out what a budget might look like, we needed to see if there was any appetite for the consortium participation. Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense. Okay. All right. Then moving on to the last piece of the plan, the data piece. So just like with all of the other collaborative programs that do have outside revenue, probation would be tracking your usual recidivism data, right? At the conclusion of the grant of supervision, how many terminated supervision without committing a new law offense. We would also track the number of apps for petition, arrests, things like that. But what I did want to insert in there were also those other kind of, let's call them self-sufficient kinds of metrics, right? What was the result of our support 6 months after, a year after? Did our support of our youth help them to acquire, not only acquire, but retain employment? Did they retain housing? So it's things like that. And again, this specific section is a lot more fluid because I'm throwing this out to the group. I do not want just these data elements to be the only ones. If there are other data elements that you believe are important, please make sure that we can include them. And again, it doesn't have to happen today. When the plan goes for another review, please make sure if there's anything that you want to ensure is included, that we do at that time. Madeline, Raymond, Heather, any specific comments about this particular section from your perspective that you'd like to see?
Well, it depends on what we're asking to be measured across the board from the providers. Are we going to send them out each resiliency or how well they feel connected to the community? Reduction of mental health or behavioral, unaccepted behaviors that we were trying to work on. It's escaping me right now, the word I want to use. So I think it would have to be something that the group came up with to do a pre and post survey for all providers so that we're gathering the same information. But yeah, I think housing and employment are the two biggest ones, because without those, you can't work on all of the other nuances.
Sure.
And I'm wondering also, you know, obviously tracking the reduction of recidivism, the housing, employment, but also, you know, there are some individuals that do want to enter into post-secondary education opportunities.
Sure.
So I'm
sure.
Wondering if that's their primary and maybe they're not, you know, employed, but having that as an outcome measure is what I think would be important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just, Madeline, to Heather's point, it would be trying to figure out how to characterize it under one kind of umbrella. You know, do we want to identify it as resiliency or some other overarching topic we can that we then could develop a pre and post assessment, you know? So these are the things, again, not today, doesn't have to be finalized today, but please, if you wouldn't mind, start considering what other key metrics do we want to make sure we capture. Okay. All right, everybody. So we are at the kind of the end of the draft plan. And as you'll notice, I did section it off in these particular categories so that in the event the Office of Youth and Community Restoration has a particular template that they want to use, it would simply be a copy and paste. But it's in a section that's more easily workable.
Okay. In the regional effort section, I would go ahead and add, you did say invest, but I would add the 1% in there, because when I initially read that, I didn't realize that there was a cost until I got down to the last page.
Right. Sure. Okay. And I will add that. Okay. All right, everyone. As long as there's nothing else, we'll go back to our agenda. And then, so now we will officially address agenda item number 5. Before we do, I'll turn it back over to the clerk of the board. Sonia, if you wouldn't mind, please ask if there's any members of the public that have any comments on agenda item number 5, which is discussion and approval of County of Orange participation in statewide consortium and payment of consortium membership through SBA 23 funds.
Sure. If there are any members of the public that would like to speak on item number 5, please press the star 9 key or the hand raise icon on your desktop. No, there's none.
Okay. Thank you, Sonia. Okay. So, based on the conversations we had during our discussions in agenda item number 4, I am going to make a motion that we continue item number 5 to a future meeting. Can I get a second?
A second, that.
Okay. Thank you, Dawn. Okay. Sonia, would you take a roll call vote on that, please? And everyone understands the motion, right? We're just, it's not dying. We're simply just going to defer this to a future date.
Brian, can you just clarify a little bit on that motion in changing the agenda item to say for recommendations to the JJC committee, just so it doesn't read as if we're approving that agenda item at the next meeting?
Okay, so let me, I'll restate the motion, but I will say it this way. So for agenda item number 5, I am making a motion that we as a group are going to defer the decision and approval of participation in the statewide consortium to the Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council. Yes. Is that? Well, let's see. If I make that motion, then it's done at this level.
Yeah, I think if I was going to word it, not to do, I would say, we're going to defer until our next meeting, agenda item number 5, modifying it to the sense that we will be recommending our addition or being part or participant in the consortium and giving appropriate funds to JJC.
Okay.
We still want to make a recommendation. Right. We're only going to defer to make a recommendation to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did everybody understand that motion? So I am going to officially, for the record, withdraw my prior motion, and I will defer to Kimberly Doyle, our esteemed colleague from the district attorney's office, with her motion. Now, Dawn, would you be willing to defer your second and second Kimberly's motion instead?
Yes. I think it was stated clearly. It looks like everybody agrees that we understand what we're doing.
Absolutely.
And so I would second Kim's, because my intent had been to second the deferral of the item with the idea that we would make a recommendation for JJCC to consider at a future meeting.
Very good. I am so glad this is being recorded. Okay, so Sonia, if you wouldn't mind, please take a roll call vote on that motion.
Okay. Kimberly Doyle?
Yes, thank you.
Laura Jose?
Yes, agreed.
Judge Joanne Motoiki?
She's not
present. I joined just in time for the discussion on this item. Good morning, everybody, and I'm sorry I had a conflict. Yes, I agree.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
Raymond Sanchez?
Yes, agreed.
Don Smith?
Yes, I agree.
Heather Benjamin?
Yes, I agree.
Lynn Garrett?
Yes, I agree.
Nazli Respeto? Ken Santini? Madeline?
Yes, I agree.
And Mr. Brian Prieto?
And I agree.
Okay.
Thank you, Sonia. Okay, everyone. Thank you for another fantastic meeting. We got to work on that chair, man. He holds some long meetings. But thank you very much. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is next week on September 16th. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Brian, I won't be able to make that meeting.